welcome to your new life and our new times in what has been labeled as humanity's greatest leap in evolution. Dr. K is here to assist you with holistic tips and tools, clearings and activations for your vibrational upgrade. Dr. Allison J. K. has been working as an energy medicine practitioner for 20 years, having lived in Asia for 10 years to study subtle energy. People refer to Dr. K as the lightning bolt due to the high voltage of the work she does on behalf of assisting you to thrive in mind, body, and spirit. That is the greatest backdrop to life on planet Earth right now.
How you be? Is there a smile on your face? It'll shift your hormonal releases if you do smile. Go for it. Okay, so today we're talking about energy and consciousness. When I first signed a contract with Voice America, we were looking at me being on the Health and Wellness channel because I'm a holistic life coach and so much of what I do is about having health in the body. And we decided for a variety of reasons to be on this channel. So I'm going to be talking today about how energy and consciousness work within our system for supreme health and vitality in a very practical, as tangible as we can make it way, which is it seems like the nature of my platform is as a translator of these, what can be considered or it have been considered in the West, esoteric, maybe metaphysical, maybe spiritual, elusive teachings and making them grounded in the practical. That is what seems to be my role with both my book, What If There Is Nothing Wrong, released last month or now 2 months ago in January, and the work here at the radio show and all the workshops and classes that I do in my work with clients. And so the reason for that is the 10 years I spent in Asia and seeing how another culture or a host of different cultures in the Eastern Hemisphere work with the energy for health and vitality, and it's a practical tool. And so their societies organize their paradigms around understanding that energy is primary over the physical, that it's more important than the physical. My book, What If There's Nothing Wrong, goes into the background behind why we are geared in the West, particularly in America, to focus more on the physical and make it more primary. And without going into that here and now, what we're going to do is dismantle that. So quantum physics discovered in the beginning of the 1900s some stuff that started to unravel the Newtonian physics view. And again, this is all in my book too. Breaking down ultimately that the physical is what is the foundation to all life, and instead it's actually energy. And it's yet to be incorporated. You may not know that, you may know that, but you'll notice it's not mainstream as of yet. It's not how our societies run. Our medical system is run on focusing on the physical. We don't have a cultural value as of yet for valuing energy and consciousness and tools to work with it. People who are doing and presenting the tools to work with energy and consciousness is still somewhat considered on the fringe. Somewhat, I say. Depends on how we present it and the application to them. And the dominant paradigm is still definitely the Western medical model that looks at the physical first. And we spend our day-to-day lives producing and doing and being on the physical plane and creating things that are tangible, like products and goods and services, and that's what we spend the majority of our time doing, manifesting or creating ideas down into the physical. And again, I've said this many times before, and I say it in my book, that's what we're fantastic at in America, you know, the just do it idea, the taking ideas and bringing them out and creating them as in the different technologies we've created, particularly since the 1950s. Where we are lacking, however, is this knowledge of what goes on in the unseen planes and how that contributes to the physical creation. And on the other end of that, how we tax our systems by only focusing in, or primarily focusing on the physical in our culture. So by not tuning into our emotions or by disregarding the wisdom of our intuition, because neither of those, even though emotions are a bit more tangible than our beliefs and our thoughts, nonetheless, it's still not the physical. It's still not reasonable. So we focus on what's orderly, reasonable, and rational and logical and has scientific proof, and we create our realities based on that here in America and in the West. Yet we're working against a primary force in nature, which is chaos. In the yin-yang symbol of the Taoist culture, which is the ancient Chinese culture that the yin-yang symbol comes from and that Qigong comes from and Tai Chi comes from and reflexology comes from, and this is Lao Tzu, one of the primary teachers of the Chinese culture prior to Confucius. Confucius is a different line of tradition and thinking in the ancient Chinese culture, and that has more to do with bureaucracy and governmental structure and order. Whereas Lao Tzu is more the philosophical base. So in the yin-yang symbol, the black part, now you remember that in that circle, there's black and white split in that squiggly line down the middle, so equal parts are given to the black and the white, and then within the black is a little white dot, and then within the white is a little black dot. So within one thing, the other thing is always there. And in the yin part of the yin-yang symbol, the yin is the what's associated with the archetypal feminine consciousness. That is the void. That is creation. That is chaos. So when we don't know something, when something's unknown, and when something, like when we're housing a baby in our womb, and we might, and we haven't known the sex yet, and we haven't known all the reactions going on yet, and we don't know what the personality is going to be like, and we don't know, like, who's going to be coming out and part of our family, and all of that unknown. Now let's bring it over to an adult life who has been living life a certain way for decades. Let's say she's a lawyer, and she's in her early 40s, and she has had a heart attack because she had so much that she wasn't dealing with, and all the stress on the physical level of her job was not doing her system good any longer, because she had been thinking a certain way with certain beliefs running her choices and her behaviors and therefore her life, what it looked like since she was a little girl. And ultimately, with continuing in the law practice and the kind of energy that she was originally attracted to behind practicing law, what it would give her, what value it provided her personality, no longer fit her. It was too much of that same energy. So it peaked in a heart attack. I'm talking in when we look at a physical diagnosis, and y'all, the regular listeners out there, have heard me say this many times before now. When we are in the holistic world or in the energy healing world, are facing a client with a physical diagnosis from the Western medical model, and we are trained to look 3 to 5 years before that diagnosis to find out what strong events in the person's life happen so that they can tell us the potential for the emotional shifts, the strong emotions that were catalyzed by this event, and we can start to look at those emotions, that big major shift. It may not be very tangible. It may be we have to do some digging and fishing around to find how the emotions would have shifted, but nonetheless, there's a shift out of one way of being into what's viewed as the negative spectrum of emotions, whether it's shock or trauma or grief, etc. So in regards to then looking at the heart attack, we wouldn't say, okay, let's just medicate the heart. Let's look at what led to the actual heart attack, and thereby we're looking at the consciousness or the energy pattern behind the physical symptom. So if you guys picture, like, you know the cross-section slices that we see of the earth, for example, and the top level of the grass, or the sand, depending on where we're looking at the cross-section from the earth or of the earth where it's from. And then underneath the next layer is like kind of slate or whatever, and then it keeps going down into different layers, and then you get to the core, the mantle of the earth. And if you think of a human, that's what goes on in our physical world, what we see, what we can touch, what we can feel, what we can prove, what we can point to. All of that is the physical plane, and that's considered the top surface layer. And then under that is our emotions, because then that's the most physically dense after the physical body and physical life itself. And then underneath the emotions are the thoughts and the beliefs. And then underneath the next layer is energy. Energy is what, as quantum physics has shown now, at the core of all of life is no longer believed as a Newtonian physics that it is physical matter. So energy gets collapsed into becoming physical matter out of being a wave, because everything is a wave. Everything is sonic, meaning everything gets moved by harmony or vibration. On a guitar, the C note will vibrate differently than the D note. So it might go the guitar string, that is, to make the C note, whereas now let's take the E note. The E note will go a different vibration. I know that's not the C and the E note, please pardon that, but you understand the premise behind what I'm describing. So what collapses energy in its infinite potential form, because that's what energy is. When energy is just being energy, it's just being there. It's just there. It has no form yet. It's in wave form. And so then, before it becomes physical, it has to collapse into being a particle. And part of what was just discovered by quantum physics in 1905 was the observer effect. And again, I've mentioned that many times on the show, and we've talked about that with Amit Goswami a couple of weeks back. And it's thoroughly gone over in my book too. So if you have, you might have holes missing in this call and or the show, go to my book. What if there's nothing wrong? And I'm not trying to market my book. I'm trying to just give you full information. But there isn't enough time to go into it all here to get to what I want to get to today for you all, for your benefit. So if there's holes missing, but you're getting, oh yeah, that makes sense, then go to the book. When we think a thought over and over again, that collapses the wave, its potential, into becoming something. So in 1905, that observer effect that was discovered is a scientist looking under the microscope and realizing for the first time that his thoughts, his projections, his expectations of what was going to happen affected the outcome. It affected the thing being studied. So before he even became aware that his expectations and projections affected it, he became aware that the thing changes once he starts to look at it, the observer effect. We use this very much in Theta Healing, too. That's the premise that Theta Healing is based on. So when you have listened to the Theta Healings on many of my shows when I do the free Theta Healings, and you hear me say, "Commander, Creator, it is commanded," da 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 da, and then I say, "Show me," it's based on this. You can go back and listen to way back in the beginning, the first 3 months of my show last year with Brent Phillips, the Master Theta Healer out of L.A., and we explain that much more in depth then, if you wanted to. Point being is that nothing becomes physical unless it's generated by a thought or belief. And one thought, one random singular thought that you have doesn't do it. It's a certain note, like the C or the E, that gets created from repeated thinking along the same lines and repeated beliefs along the same lines. So now let's take that into today's topic. How does that affect me? What does that mean to me? So now applying it to the Hindu chakra system, chakra means in Sanskrit wheel, and there are 7 main chakra centers that go down the central column, or the Shishuma as it's known in Sanskrit. This is now yogic from yoga and from the Ayurvedic world from India. So there are 7 main centers that run down the central column of our body, and each connects to a different chunk of consciousness or life experience in the overall spectrum of human life. One has to do with love, one has to do with getting your material needs met, one has to do with sensuality and sexuality, one has to do with power, one has to do with speaking up, communication, speaking your truth, feeling and perceiving that you've been heard. Another one has to do with insight and balanced use of intellect. Another one has to do with connection to higher self, connection to your spirituality. So, depending on the way that your beliefs run in each of these areas, you could be either positively affecting that chakra, keeping the wheel, the chakra, open and spinning out the life force energy. That's what we call it in English, energy, life force energy. Now that we're applying it to the physical body and the way energy distributes in the physical body, there's a bunch of different levels to this. I have taught month-long classes on the basic level on the chakras. I've taught month-long classes on the chakras at the advanced level. To try and squeeze this all into one show is beyond what I can do here. But what I'm going to be starting is a telecall series in 2 weeks that applies these concepts to you, to your physical health, and we will be pulling beliefs from each of these areas so that you can have more physical health and vitality and well-being in your body on the planet Earth, so that then the whole next level to all of this, and if, by the way, if you want more information about these this telecall series coming up, you have a couple of choices. You can go to healing-balance.com. Look down there on the bottom right. You can see that there's links. If you go to the one that says book a holistic life coaching and healing session, that will take you to healing-balance. If you want to go to the home page on that blog, you can see where you can enter your name. You get a free energy healing wish if when you enter your name on the subscription list there, email list. And then I'm going to be sending out in the next newsletter information about this telecall series. So that's one way. Another way is ajkbliss@gmail.com. If some of you have sent emails to AllisonJKBliss@gmail.com, which is the email connected to this radio show, I have not been able to get to them. I just took on another new assistant this week, so hopefully I'll be able to get to them on Monday. But as of right now, the box is full, so there are the ways to get in touch with me to find out about this telecall series coming up. The whole other level to working with energy is what maybe some of you are more familiar with, is the manifestation stuff, is what the movie The Secret touched on. It's how do we materialize what we want in our lives. So we are this individual, localized unit of consciousness that's circulating, and percolating around our physical body. There's different traditions, different metaphysical teachings, and ancient wisdom traditions give different numbers of how many non-physical, invisible bodies are there around our physical body. Some say 3, some say 4, some say 6, some say 7. Just know that there are invisible bodies around your physical body, and each of them has to do with either the mental or the emotional or the astral plane. And all of that just, and the auras included there, yes, all of that just goes out and sends out a certain tone, like the C or E or note, to the bigger field. And I talk about the field with Rupert Sheldrake in my book as well, the scientific studies he's done that have proven this morphic, M-O-R-P-H-I-C, morphic field out that is out there. That's the general field. In the Chinese culture, they call it qi. It's an all-animate life. The trees, the bushes, the sky, anything alive has this consciousness to it. And one of the ways I like to describe it is like little kindergarten children. Just ready to play, joyous, woohoo! You know, just like really excited, high energy, up there, happy, not bombastic, high hyper energy, but just full vitality, curiosity, excitement, enthusiasm, and help, and joy. That is the nature inherent to ourselves, and that's what I feel when I'm working with a client in a healthy area of their body. When I'm working with a client who has a cancer tumor, for example, and I just came from a melanoma stage 4 client, and he's doing better in just 3 treatments. When there's a tumor, for example, there's really thick, dense, stuck energy. It seems like a tumor has looked to me before like a coal lump. So that means the energy, the percolating, joyous little kindergarteners at the cellular level aren't percolating their enthusiasm throughout that region. Instead, the cells around the area have been shut down to this life force energy. Yeah, that's at the physical level. So what circulates the life force energy or the chi or the prana within our own localized, individualized system in each of our physical bodies are our thoughts and our beliefs. That our thought on a repeated level that are habitual and that have taken a turn for the negative spectrum of emotions. It doesn't mean that I think negatively I'm causing disease. It's not that simplistic. There are other factors involved, like your level of alkalinity in your body according to your diet, the level of acidicness in your body according to your diet, because disease grows in an acidic environment. There's also the level of toxicity or cleanliness in your diet that is connected somewhat to acidicness and alkalinity. But the bottom line is, we have not as a victim that doesn't know about our own health and how to have it and well-being, but we have in this concept, if you think about it, if each chakra system is a wheel and it circulates the life force energy within my body, or it doesn't because it's closed down. It's not spinning like a wheel because my negative spectrum of beliefs on a day-to-day basis have shut it down. And that means the life force energy isn't circulating in that region. So if you think about your heart, in the center of, in between the breasts, in the sternum, there is the heart chakra. And it, just a little bit below the sternum, actually, about 3 inches down from the sternum, or 4 inches down from the collarbone. It depends on your torso length, but you get the idea of where it is. If that heart chakra isn't spinning like a wheel, the energy, the vital life force energy, the prana, the chi, out throughout the breast, the pecs, then the arms, the elbows, also the shoulders, and the wrists and the hands and the fingers, then we are then more vulnerable to a physical malady in that area because the life force is not vital and strong in that area. There you go. You got it. So the key then is to work with our beliefs and to get help from somebody who can get our back and see what we're not possibly seeing, where there is unconsciousness. So when I work with the chakra system in one of the 6 energy medicine modalities that I use, I am working with the unconsciousness in the chakras. And what I mean by unconscious is it's not conscious. We're not aware of it. So if you think of your everyday consciousness, you think of your everyday mind, how your thoughts just appear, that mind is the conscious mind or the little cognitive mind. And in the modern Western teachings, like from Eckhart Tolle, connected to Buddhist philosophy, is we call it the ego mind because it's the part of our mind that's connected and attached to our personality. It's not necessarily the unity consciousness or the unity mind that's connected to all consciousness, the bigger field of consciousness. So we run at a couple of different levels of consciousness. In the West, we divide it between conscious, subconscious, and unconscious. I'm going to somewhat try and stay within those parameters just for your own understanding and then branch out from there. So we have the conscious mind, and that's our, what we know of as our little cognitive mind. And it's the one that's, you know, I got to go here and do this. Oh, yeah, let me call her and see what's up later. And, oh, wow, I didn't like that. And, oh, well, so that's, what do we call that? It's the papaya. It's the one that has all those cognitive jobs. The subconscious is, and as I've said on many, many shows now at this point, it's 85, what's understood is that 15% of our daily life around this number, we make the choices from our conscious mind, or we make conscious choices. That's another way to say it. 85% of our choices we make on a daily basis of what to do, where to go, who to be with, what to do for our economic activity, what to eat, all of that subtle energy behind each of those choices, and who we would have to be to choose law versus who we would have to be to choose nursing versus who we would have to be to choose to be a small business owner of a sports business. Exactly. So 85% of our daily choices is made from our subconscious. And unconscious is just what's buried. The subconscious is buried too, but you can get to the subconscious through a couple of different means, at least a couple of different means. One of them is meditation. We open up and connect in with the subconscious after we've been meditating for a certain amount of time, and we end up cleansing and clearing the subconscious, flushing it clear and clean. Another way is the theta healing. We'll go into the subconscious beliefs and unlock them. So those are 2 tools that I use. Access consciousness brings up, for example, another modality that I use, access consciousness, that brings up the unconsciousness of something. So the verbal processing brings up the unconsciousness that we might have in our thinking. So let me give an example. A subconscious belief is possibly a trauma still stored at the subconscious level. A subconscious belief is also, excuse me, I just had to take a sip of my drink, also something that got programmed into us from ages 0 to 6. So when we're busy as a baby and an infant and a toddler and a child, we have zero. We come in with zero neurological programming. Well, maybe that's not exactly accurate, but we come in with close to zero neurological wiring, meaning we have no paths already formed from thoughts. So in my my weekly meditation and yoga classes, I teach, and I always have taught this, if you think of, we have these dug as adults and even teens by that point, well-dug pathways that our typical trains of thought easily go down. So one person in Taiwan, for example, might be thinking about, how do I gain approval of this group? Whereas a person perhaps over in America might be thinking, a typical train of thought might be thinking about, how do I push this project forward? So that is going to create a groove or a pathway or a neurological pathway that's going to create a tendency. Yes, it does work this way, believe it or not. Let me back out. If you're doubting this, neuroplasticity is one of the more recent neuroscientific discoveries that has shown that the brain is actually, the reason why they say plastic is because the brain is actually plastic as opposed to concrete or steel, or what was viewed before as unchangeable. What was viewed before, right, was that we, once somebody had brain damage, it was permanent. But it's not. Neuroplasticity, and it was beautiful, and a beautiful testament to my life and to how I've always been a pioneer. At that same time, I was dealing with the brain tumor of my mom's, and I was using, as well as a host of a team of healers who was working alongside me, energy healing to help rewire and reactivate the cells surrounding where the brain tumor had sat that had damaged, like, let's say, her speech retrieval ability. So we were invigorating meaning sending life force energy and reactivating that joyous kindergartner in the, what had been deadened cells from where the brain tumor sat, into alive cells again. And we did it, and she was able to retrieve her speech again fine. So what happened around that same time is, all of a sudden I stumble across an article, and I know it's not random. I know it's meaningful, and my life has been like, I've lived my life as if I'm a detective, always getting these clues put in front of my consciousness so that I continue to expand and grow and find these things out. It's been an amazing, amazing life so far. And so neuroplasticity was put in front of me during this time. And I was like, see, I knew it. And I was already operating from that premise, and science had just proven that, oh, wow, so brain damage is not permanent. The neighboring, what they came out with was, they said the neighboring cells of surrounding a damaged part of the brain actually are able to then take on the tasks of those damaged cells. They'll learn. So they're saying it's plastic. The brain is plastic. It can be retaught and retrained and can grow new cells. Ultimately, is what I'm saying, but what they said is that they could they'll take on the tasks of the neighboring damaged cells. So grow is what I say. If you learn a new task, you're growing. So I'm saying that the brain cells are growing in that regard too. That's a whole big side chunk of information. So I'm going to take a breath. Why don't you guys join me? Inhaling from the belly, through the trachea, using the nostrils only. The nostrils have a natural filtration process to filter out the toxins. The mouth doesn't. Exhaling. Letting the, thank you, nose. Letting the nose, trachea, chest, and diaphragm deflate. Let's do it again. Inhaling from the belly, letting it inflate like a balloon. Chest now inflates. Trachea, throat area inflates. Up into the nostrils and exhale. And everything deflates in descending order. One more time, because 3 is such a magic number. Getting more oxygen circulating throughout our system.
and healing. Exhaling. Yep, that's the beach. You're hearing behind me. I'm intentionally here today for this radio show. I'm at Indian Rocks Beach, south of Clearwater, north of St. Pete, Florida. I saw two dolphins jumping out of the water while I was treating my melanoma stage 4 client before the radio show. It was beautiful. So where we're going with all of this is learning how to work with our consciousness. And I am attempting to download a whole bunch of information that usually takes a lot longer to get because it's breaking through a lot of belief systems that we have. So each of you listeners out there is able to take in varying levels of what's being communicated. You might want to go back and re-listen to this a couple of times so that you can, that's what she means, and you might want to get my book because it will come together. We are empowered by knowing that if I work with my thoughts and I work with my beliefs and I work with meaning, I look at what's unconscious, and we'll come back to that, and I look at what's the subconscious programming I have. I can undo beliefs that aren't in my highest good, and that's for emotional and mental well-being and overall well-being. And when we have overall well-being, we have strong vitality because the correct energy is circulating all throughout our system. We can also look at if we have a physical diagnosis and it's one certain area of the body, we can look to what chakra that would be connected to and then start to do the work with that chakra to undo the subconscious and unconscious beliefs that connect to that chakra. That's the key. Now, one of the cautions I want to give here is really important because remembering that I lived in Asia for 10 years and I've been back here now for 2.5 years, it's an entirely different pace. One of the things that is said about Americans over in other places on the planet is Americans love to burn out their central nervous system. And so what that means, without going into the chronic diseases in America that are linked to stress and understood to be linked to stress in the holistic world, but are just medicated at the physical level in the Western medical system, and that when a country adopts the modernized, globalized lifestyle, they go from what are considered sanitation diseases into what are labeled as affluent diseases, like high blood pressure and high cholesterol. But coming out of that information there, because that is also in our power to control and to work with at the lifestyle choice level, is the pace. So if we are at such a high pace here and we're living our lives basically on the physical plane, we don't necessarily see an opening for ourselves to work with our emotional and mental well-being. We don't value it. We don't have time for it. I can't begin to tell you how many times clients have chosen to, if they're looking at money and if they're feeling lack, or they're looking at their time and they're feeling lack, meaning there's not enough, then what they'll cut off are the things that give them emotional and mental and spiritual well-being, because that's looked at as an extra in their budget. When in fact, if you have the mental and emotional and spiritual well-being, then the abundance is there, then the health is there, then the perspective and the ability to be more present, grounded in the moment and not feeling like you're so pressured and don't have enough time is there. It shifts everything. Everything is dependent on how we perceive. The perception happens at the conscious level. The way we're geared to live our lives happens primarily from the subconscious level. and there are conclusions made at an unconscious level that keep us making the same type of choices over and over again. So what I was saying before, we got into brain plasticity and then breathing, is access consciousness helps to bring the unconsciousness around why we think a certain way, the unexamined conclusions or decisions that we've made that this is the way something is, when in fact we could be asking a question instead of having the conclusion, this is just the way it is. For example, I don't have enough time to get this done before I have to go do this. Which means you'll feel hurried, which means you might drop stuff, which means you might then see traffic, which means you might try to take a shortcut because you're not thinking clearly because you're rushing and you're not hearing or following your intuition and take the shortcut instead of just staying in the traffic because that actually is going to get you there quicker. Everything's off because of the perception there isn't enough time. Whereas if you ask a question like, okay, so what would it take for there to be enough time to get this done? You could actually, and I've had this happen, have somebody appear right next to you, and you could ask them, the helicopter, and you could ask them, hey, where's the closest post office? And they could tell you it's right down the road, and you could get it done quicker than you even imagined it was going to be if you just open up to the possibility. Our minds, you guys, are central to it all. These conclusions that we have at the most hidden levels that it is this way, meaning that if I have tingling in my ankles and in my lower parts of my leg and I am overweight and I eat a lot of sugar and I eat a lot of sweets and I don't exercise and therefore they say that's possibly pre-diabetic or diabetic. And maybe you even have a diagnosis or a stamp of this is what it is, a very, very much supported, strong-holding conclusion from a diagnosis. This is diabetes. And then you have the tingling in that area, like I just mentioned, and even pain. And then there's the next conclusion. Well, with diabetes, there is nerve damage. And then you get on what the conclusion is for that treatment at the physical level. Well, let's make the pain go away. Here's a medication to make that nerve damage. That's a conclusion as a result of the diabetes that's diagnosed as a very strong conclusion. Then you end up on a second medication for the pain. When in fact, a whole other way of looking at that is that you could undo what led to the diabetes through the methods that I'm talking about and not have either one of those medications. My Reiki master, for example, through her diet, got rid of having to take insulin every single day. She had to shoot herself up with insulin. It was that bad. Through her diet, was able to undo diabetes. I'm not even using energy healing. So this is a holistic leg of my business and the work that I do with the ability to heal what is concluded by many to be a solid physical issue or a solid physical disease, and it can't be worked with except through this solid physical means of medication. There's a whole other way to look at it. Here's another one, and this is in my book too, What If There's Nothing Wrong? And you can get What If There's Nothing Wrong. I think that there's a link put in there at the bottom of my page now, of the radio show page, that leads to my publisher. You can get the book there. The book's also available at Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com. And if you want to help out too, I'd be grateful to ask your local independent bookstore to carry it, to order it for you and to have it. So the doctor, there's a few doctors from Dartmouth, and they were medical professors, or they are medical professors, and they talked about how since they have been doctors, over the last 15 years, they've had to go back and consult their manual more than they ever had before because the thresholds for when, let's say, a person has blood pressure at a certain level, if they had gone 10 or 15 years ago to the doctor, what would have been a warning level and not medicated back then has now become, yes, you're medicated automatically. and what weren't even considered levels to be a warning level of blood pressure are now also medicated. So they've chopped down and gone lowered and lowered the thresholds, which means, as this doctor and professor of medicine said, it's created a million new patients in the last 10 years. That's a conclusion. The conclusion that we only have this option as our system is also a conclusion. Yeah, but they have so much power. I'm not even going into that right now. I'm just trying to point out that there are conclusions about the way life works, way it's meant to work, that if you simply took your next 2 weeks of vacation and you went to the opposite side of the planet, or you went further south down to Peru or Argentina or Bolivia, or you went over to the Middle East to, let's say, Istanbul, the beginning of it, or Abu Dhabi, congratulations, Terry, or over anywhere other than North America, and flushed your life with the locals' experience, not staying contained within a Western hotel only and the Western tourism groups that take the vans or the buses or the coaches and the guides out to the touristy places, but you actually expanded out from that controlled environment and saw the locals and started to talk to the locals, you would start to get a different feeling, because they would strike you as, well, this is different. And in that different feeling, you would start to feel different, and that would open you up to what else is possible. And you would start to see and feel and sense, oh, there's other ways of doing this. There's other ways of looking at it. So what we're talking about here is opening up our consciousness. And where we're on lockdown, and you may be feeling like you're totally happy and your life is thriving, and you may be asking the question, how can I make it even better, Allison? And that's a whole second level. A seagull just chirped right after I said that. That's a whole second level. And that's the outward field, the non-localized field, being able to be approached and worked with and yielded to and reached out to and brought in collapsing the waves out there, asking the universe to bring it back. It takes time, though. This is one of the cautions that I want to give, is if with our pace, us Americans who love to burn out our central nervous system, with our pace here in America of getting things done and taking care of so much on a day-to-day basis. And let me give you an example. When I lived overseas, I was just talking to one of my clients yesterday who also was an expat for a bunch of years in England, and her parents did the same thing as my mom did. Mailing, she would filter out the junk mail, and she would only mail to me the most important things. And then I only gave out the address to the school I worked at, the international school I was at, partially because the locals couldn't, my friends over here couldn't translate the Chinese into English. And the international school I was working at was so well known from the capital that when the mail came in, it would definitely get to me. But that means that I didn't have junk mail. I mean, I would go to my mailboxes of my apartment there, and I didn't read fluently Chinese, and I just only had to take care of the junk mail by putting it in the recycle bin. So I now am being made aware of the sheer amount of time spent dealing with all of the day-to-day stuff that living in America causes us to deal with, like a stack of mail, that two-thirds of which, three-quarters of which isn't even necessary. But how much time it takes up, and then going into the emails, there are different choices. Yeah. There are different choices. There are different ways to do this. We stress ourselves out, and we think that we have to live this way, and we think that this is the only way, because we don't know any different. We don't even know that there's another way to do this. We don't, when we're so locked into being busy, we don't even necessarily possibly question it. So, coming back now to the pace of America in particular, if we are used to such productivity and such brilliant customer service typically, because we really, really have outstanding customer service. I have been known to say, God bless American customer service quite a few times.
And we're used to drive-thrus, and we're used to remote controls, and we're used to pretty much getting what we want when we want it. And if we don't, we get some kind of compensation in this market economy, right? So what that does, besides create a more demanding ego mind to deal with than any other culture on the planet, realistically, is also this pace that our that creates this demanding ego mind, but it creates an expectation too that things don't have a natural pace to them, that we can control from our mind the pace that things go at, that we can figure it out and we can force it, we can make it happen with our will, with our stamina, with our persistence, that we can make it happen. And there's no acknowledgement in there for the bigger field of aliveness, of life, of the universe, of what's already going on around us. And let's say my localized universe goes to meet this radio network's universe, what they have going on in their own universe there, with the executive producer of my radio show on up to the general manager of the radio station on up to the original owners, or the owners who originated the radio network, Voice America. It has its own bunch of beliefs. It has its own crew or cast of actors, if you will. Not that it's a play, but just if you think about it, it has its own universe with a bunch of different entities in that universe. And I bring my localized universe of what I know and what I've experienced to theirs, and those two universes are going to merge. The fields, the invisible circles and fields and bodies around each of our physical bodies, them as an entity, a physical business and entity, and me, our bigger fields, the invisible ones around our own localized body, are going to then meet and intermingle. And in all of that is a pace of me that I'm used to, with all of my expectations and beliefs and experiences, and therefore tone. And then there's two. And the universe itself, now coming off of people and organizations, but the universe itself has its own rhythm. And I'll tell you what, one of the key things I learned living in Asia is the pace of the universe is it's so different than the mind in what we expect, especially from living in America, that we can make these demands and we can make something happen and we can create something and we can be productive and get this to work and do it. Yeah. And yeah, we usually can, depending on our persistence, but there is this sense of force and pushing in the mind instead of, what about asking questions and then observing? What about taking one step and then observing the reaction it causes, to see if that's the right way to go, like a baby taking out a step, you know, and its hands out in front of it. Or let's say a blind baby, its hands out in front of it. Am I going to hit a table here? No. Okay, so let me take another step. But okay, now let me turn to the left. Oh, boom, table. Okay, so that wasn't the right way to go. There's a block there. Let me turn around and go this way. So one step at a time, to see the universe's timing, to see where the universe is at. Because when we're out there now, going beyond the first level of what the telecall is going to start out with and mostly focus on, is how to have health, vitality, and well-being, and happiness and joy running throughout our system. So then we are more able, here's the second level, so then we are more able to then go out and command and sit back and receive. And doing that simultaneously with the greater morphic field of all of life to create what we want with our lives, to create our best lives ever. Because a being who has happy, joyous cells running throughout their body is much more capable of commanding consciousness of the bigger field to collapse in a certain direction than somebody who is miserable, depressed, or angry. The energy goes out differently, and what gets returned is different. It's not as direct and easy and fluid of a communication. I've done both, I know. Believe me. So there's this whole way to interact with the greater field, to bring into our lives what we want. And it's not, do you have any idea how much you could save and efforting and forcing and figuring out and pushing, if you just sat back and listened more and observed more and went at a pace that isn't forcing but is a more natural pace where you're noticing and we're noticing what's going on in the greater environment around us in response to what we're intending. The other thing is, with this, so that was a question. I'm going to pause and now go in a new direction, adding on to what was just said in what direction I was going in earlier. This pace thing, this customer service thing, these expectations that we have in America means that we then go into the spiritual work and into this, or don't call it spiritual work, just this consciousness work. Whatever is going to work for you to label it, go for it. It is just working with consciousness. It can be totally dry of spirituality if you want it to be. I met many Chinese who have it totally dry of spirituality. It has to have no, it can have no association to divinity, no worries. So in working with consciousness, it doesn't happen as quickly. Apparently somebody out there needed to hear something about going one step at a time and testing and seeing the direction. So I'm going to trust that direction. It just went off in. But this is where I was initially going with the thing about the pacing, is I've seen a lot of people get frustrated and drop out of this, I don't believe in energy, or I don't believe that I can think my way into having what I want. No, it's not thinking your way into having what you want, and it's not what they say in The Secret. And if you're heavy and you haven't done a lot of clearing work and you're still dense with a lot of heavy old, I want to say not to your highest good, not to your positive joy kindergartner cells being activated all throughout your body. If you have some beliefs and experiences locked down in your body, then you're going to be denser. Your vibration is going to be lower. Your note, your tone is going to be lower than a high one. And the high ones can command the external field, external to our own localized field, more effectively. So there's two double whammies there. Somebody who doesn't believe in this stuff and who thinks it's all hocus pocus and who is ignorant, quite frankly, because the information's there. My book is there. Give it to them. What if there's nothing wrong? Give it to them. The science is explained in there, and it's done dry of any spiritual connotations. And if they're saying that the physical is more important, I only can believe what I can see, that book helps them understand it to a T. And yet, if they don't believe it, then they're not going to see it. It's a beautiful little trick that whatever the creator is of this universe, with that sense of humor, it was created this way. Because if you don't believe in it, then it doesn't work. I don't mean energy healing. I've seen energy healing. It's taken a different turn in the last bunch of years. Energy healing can work even without the person believing in it. What I'm saying is, if I look out for a sign, because I'm a doubter, I'm a skeptic, and I want the universe, I want God to give me a sign, that it doesn't work that way, because that's a command made from an angry mind, and it's made from a dense, non-kindergartner kind of cell or energy, or collection of cells, I should say. The whole overall localized field is sending out a heavy, dense note, and the universe doesn't respond well to that, never mind being told what to do. How do I know that? Experiential observation. If you go to the YouTube testimonials or you go to healing-balance, I'm not meaning to sell myself here, and you listen to what some of my clients say, you can see the effects of this kind of kindergartner joy energy being sent out from their fields too, or how it's affected their fields as their works in progress. You can feel it in me. I know you can. Yes, it works. Yes, it works. So, on that note, have the best day ever. Blessings.
Thank you for joining us and allowing yourself this time to expand and become more of who you're here to be. Dr. K has a range of different offerings of her vibrational upgrades at all price points, including free. So for more information, please go to www.alisonjk.com. Dr. K's first book, What If There's Nothing Wrong, is available on Amazon.com. Dr. K also has a weekly clearing and activation call that is attended by her most advanced clients and students, an important activity in keeping themselves aligned and their vibration high. We'd love to have you come and play. Om Shanti.